Well, I have certainly enjoyed the preaching, and I trust that God will help me not mess it up. The messages have been awesome, and I've really enjoyed it. I, too, like Brother Bill Wrench said, I want to thank all of you that wrote me letters and said you was praying for me, all these young people over here. I think I got the same letter you did, Brother Wrench. I assumed it was a young man said that he was praying God give me a new message. And I thought, now, I've never preached there before. How does he know whether I got a new one or not? But I guess you know. And so I'm very thankful for all of you that have prayed for us and have invited us to be a part of this. I thank you for all of you that have been so involved in the life of my personal children on the mission field. You know, there'll nothing make you love missions more than for God to send your kids and your grandkids. Amen. It'll make a whole different amount of faithfulness sending your missions money in every month when your grandkids are down there. Come on, that's the truth. And it'll give you a heart, and I certainly thank God for it. Probably one of the hardest things we did, my wife and I have done in a long time, is just a week ago yesterday, we put my daughter and my son-in-law and my three grandkids on an airplane, and they took off to go to Argentina. And we bought them a one-way ticket so they could not come back. And not that I don't want them back, I promise you. But we're very thankful. And I'm thankful God's worked all of this out for my children. They've traveled around the country and raised their support. Many of you support them, and they were in your churches. And for some of you that may not know this, my middle grandchild that Angela and Ed have has cerebral palsy. And we did not know that for quite a while after she was born. And then one day she had a seizure, and they could not get the seizure to stop. And so they took her to the hospital, and the hospital couldn't get it to stop. So they care flighted her over to Dallas Children's Hospital, and they finally got it stopped. And this neurologist did all these tests and told us what the problem was. And so this doctor came in. We're in the room, and I don't know if you've ever been through anything like this, but we were weeping and praying, and this is my grandbaby. And the doctor came in and said, I've been told that you're going to go to Argentina. And my daughter said, well, that is what God's called us to do. And he said, you can't take this baby. This baby's going to have constant neurological care. Then the waterfalls did start. And here's my little girl. Saying, Daddy, what are we going to do? I'm sorry. And you know, we preachers, we got a set answer. We're going to trust God. That's easy to say when it's your grandkid. Come on, you know where I'm talking about. And so I said, baby, we're going to trust God. And so we prayed and we prayed and we cried and we prayed and we cried. About an hour or so, I don't know exactly the time frame. My wife's better at that than I am. But after a period of time, this lady come in. She said, I'm the doctor who has done all the tests on your granddaughter and your daughter. And I've been told that you want to go to Argentina. And by now, we really don't know what God's going to do. And my son-in-law said, well, that's what we're planning to do. And she said, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. She said, I have a best friend who went to school with me and who went and did their internship together. And she's also a doctor of neurology, and she practices in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And so, she said, I'll hook you up. Now, I know you're not supposed to get Pentecostal. But in that room, we got a little bit carried away. I know my God can do anything. I've seen my God do miraculous things. Now, that may not be a miracle to you, but that's a miracle as far as I'm concerned. And I tell you, it was an exciting thing to see God answer those kind of prayers. Now, if you would this morning, turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 3. And stand with me. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 26. Now, some of y'all are going to panic when I read this text. Please don't. The Bible says in verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." We're all the children of God the exact same way, amen? No different way. He said, "For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We love you with all our hearts. And Lord, I do so want to be a blessing to these, your children that are here. And I pray that you'd help me to preach this message that you've laid on my heart. And Lord, I believe that one of the greatest things that we need is to have to understanding that our labor is not in vain. God, that we really are doing what you told us to do. And we really are walking in the truth. And I pray that you'd help us this morning to relay that which you've laid on my heart and to be a blessing to these your people here today, and that we might be encouraged to not ever, ever, ever give up and quit. God help us. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I want to also for you to look over just a few chapters over to Galatians chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse number 9. Of Galatians chapter 6. And the Bible says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Now, when the Lord saved me and immediately called me to preach, and I went off to Baptist Bible College, I couldn't even spell Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible at all. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a heathen's home. And we lived like heathens, acted like heathens, and we were good at it. In case you're wondering. Then God saved me and called me to preach, and all of a sudden God called me to go to Bible college, and I'm going to Bible college where all of these young people have been raised in church, and they know everything about the Bible and everything about all the Bible stories. And I remember going into Bible history, and the professor started talking about some of these Bible stories. I'd never heard them. He's asking questions, and I'd never heard this stuff. And I had made up my mind that I had two goals in my life at that point. Number one, I wanted to live long enough to be considered one of the mature preachers. I did not want to die young. And I've accomplished that goal. It's too late for me to die young. Say amen. And I've picked on people, especially folks like Brother Davison and others that are a little older than me, about how old they are. Now, I know I look old. I just have old hair. I'm really not as old as I look. But I remember picking on people all the time. You know, the Bible always says you reap what you sow. I was doing a wedding here just a few weeks ago, and after the wedding was over, I went down to my office, and I'm sitting there, and I have my door open, and this young man that was in the wedding that did not know me, did not know anything about our church, was standing out in the foyer, did not know I could hear what he said. And this boy is talking to this other kid out there. They're both about 13, 14 years old, and he said, "My, that preacher was old." And it just flooded my soul all the times I've said that about you guys. So you reap what you sow. I had that goal in my life, is to not die young, and I've accomplished that. The second goal I had was this. I don't ever want to quit. I've seen, as we went to Baptist Bible College, these preachers come by, and they'd been in the ministry for what seemed like forever at that time in my life. And I thought, "Oh God, please let me preach the gospel of Jesus Christ until I die." I do not want to quit. And I believe according to our theme here, we shall reap if we faint not. There is no place in what we're doing for somebody to quit. And I'm telling you what happens is, so many times we as preachers get our minds and our hearts on the circumstances, and we get discouraged and we just want to throw up our hands. I've heard preachers get up and say in the pulpit, "Well, I quit every Monday." Well, I think if I quit every Monday, sooner or later I'd go through with it. I don't think you ought to quit on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I think you ought to never quit. I had Dr. Clyde Spain in my church not long ago. He's 82 years old. Got up and preached a message. And I'm telling you, I love these preachers. And I just beg God to let me be like this. He got up and he said, I was in my devotions the other day, and God gave me this message. Thank God he didn't dust off his book. He said, now 1942, I preached this message. It was new and fresh. And this 82-year-old man got up and just preached the paint off the wall at my church. I told my wife afterwards, I said, man, would to God when I'm that old, 82 years old, I could preach like that. She said, you wish you'd preach like that now. She really encourages me a lot. I really do want to spend my life serving Jesus Christ. I do not want to get caught up in the circumstances of this world. I do not want to get caught up in the sins of this world. I do not want to get caught up in anything that would disqualify me from standing behind this pulpit and proclaiming the Word of God. But I realize that I can't do that in my own flesh. I have the same devil after me as all the rest of the world has. I have the same flesh in me that everybody else has. So I have to make sure and guard and get myself in a place where I can stand in the pulpit and preach until I die. And I think the key to that is found in our text. Now I want you to notice with me, the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 3, He said, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now the Bible simply says we all got saved the exact same way. Somewhere in your life you heard the Word of God preached, hallelujah, and the faith came in your heart and you believed. And you believed it so strong, you cried out and said, Lord, save me! Woo! I'll never forget January the 14th, 1973. Jesus Christ saved me. I didn't understand what being saved meant. I was dealing with a young lady that was doubting her salvation the other day in our church, and she said, but preacher, I didn't know everything when I got saved, and I just couldn't help myself. I had to laugh. When I got saved, I couldn't even spell Bible. I had no idea all of the wonderful things I got when I received Christ as my Savior. I did not know that eternal security even existed. I didn't say, well, people, you can't get saved if you don't believe in eternal security. I didn't even know what that meant. All I heard was the preacher told me, he said, if you're sick and tired of the way you're living, if you'll come this morning and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll take a giant eraser and dip it in the blood of Christ, and He'll forgive you of all your sin. I'm sitting there going, I want that! Now, I messed him all up when I got saved. Because he said, if you want that, come down. And he's right in the middle of his sermon, and I came down right then. I had no idea you're supposed to wait till just as I am. I've never heard of just as I am. I've never seen an invitation. So I get out of my chair and I walk down there and I'm standing here like this and he's up there preaching. I had no idea he was supposed to stop and talk to me. I didn't know what was going on. He just said, if I want to get forgiveness, come down there. I came down there. Now I know how you are. I can preach no matter what's going on in the auditorium. Come on. If you're a real preacher, you can preach no matter what people are doing. All you can do is you just look at somebody else. If Brother Davidson over there starts acting up, I'll just come over and preach to y'all. I'll just ignore him. That's what he did. I'm over here standing here waiting to get changed, and he's standing up here going, he looked over at me like this, and he's just preaching over here. He just ignored me. Well, I didn't know I was being ignored because I didn't know what was supposed to happen. Amen. He realized I wasn't going away. I was just going to stand there. That's what I thought you were supposed to do. Finally, he got frustrated. Now, I didn't know all this at the time. I just figured it out later. He turned on me and said, what do you want? I said, I want to get saved. He said, oh. I'm telling you, they stopped the service. He said, sing! And they sang, and he led me to Christ. Well, my wife, she thought we was going to join the church, so she came down. She's just standing there. One of the deacons came and said, ma'am, what'd you come for? And she said, well, I think he came to join the church, but I need to get that same stuff he was talking about. Woo! Maybe that's what y'all's problem. You forgot how good that was. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God He saved me. We all got saved the same exact way. There is no other way. I was knocking on doors one time in Goshen, Indiana, and Mennonite Bible College was in that town. There was 33 Mennonite churches inside the city limits of a town of 20,000. And I was the only Baptist. I was out knocking on doors, and sure enough, I met one of the professors. And he opened the door, and he said, oh, you're a fundamental Baptist. He said, you're one of these people that believe everybody ought to have a Damascus Road experience. I said, boy, you're right. I believe that. He said, well, I think you can just work your way into it. You're not working your way into anything. Either you're saved or you're not. Amen. All of us get saved the same way. Now here, come on, here's what happens. After you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, has nothing to do with you, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit of God takes you and places you into Jesus. God's not confused about prepositions. Amen. He knows what into means. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God take me and place me into Jesus Christ. And in this verse, He uses the word baptism. And you can believe whatever you want about that. I just know I was placed into Jesus Christ. And I had eternal life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you're placed in Jesus Christ, you get life. Eternal life. Amen. Woo! And when you get eternal life, you remember eternity goes both ways? Come on, when I was placed in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, it's like a river rushing all the way back to creation. I was there. In Christ! I was there when Jesus stepped out in the middle of nothing and said, let there be light! And I was there. See, you don't remember that. I don't remember being born into this world either. But my mommy said, I was born. She told me when I was born. I do not remember that. Do you? You know, I pretty much take my mama's word for everything that happened when I was born. Don't remember a thing. Well, if I take my lovely mom's word, wouldn't I take God's word? Well, I got a birth certificate that says you was born a certain day at a certain time and your mom and dad was there. I have a birth certificate too. And it's called the Holy Word of God. And He said, I'm placed into Jesus Christ and I have eternal life. And I go all the way back to creation. That's why I know I didn't come from a monkey. I was there. Amen. I know how the whole thing happened in six literal days and He rested on the seventh day. I was there. If you look at the last verse in this portion of Scripture, He says in verse 29, and if ye be in Christ, He's not confused now about prepositions. Amen. I'm in Christ. Then are ye Abraham's seed. He said, now I'll go all the way back to Abraham. I was there when Jesus came by Abraham's tent and said, I'm going over to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham had a little conversation with Him. He bartered with Him. There's 50 righteous, would you save it? I don't know where you get the nerve to do that. Wouldn't you like to have the nerve to talk to God in such a way and say, well, how about if there was 50, would you not do this? How about 40? How about 20? Lord, if there's 10 righteous, would you not do it? The Lord said, okay. Amen. It's good. I was there. I don't remember it, but I was there. Amen? The Bible says I was in Christ when He was born in a manger. I was there in Christ. Come on, folks. That's what eternity past is talking about. I'm in Christ. I'm going to come to something in a minute. I think you're going to understand. I was there. I was there. I was there when the gifts were brought. The gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I didn't get my share. But I was there. I was there when Jesus Christ turned the water into wine. I was there when Jesus did all the miracles that He did. And I was there, listen to me, I was there when He died on the cross. Y'all looking at me funny. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Was you crucified with Christ or not? That's not just a statement. That's a reality. I was in Christ when He was on the cross. Amen. I was in Christ when He rose from the dead. That's why I'm raised from the dead. Amen. Like as Christ was raised from the dead, so I'm like I was raised from the dead because I was in Christ. Certainly we understand this, don't we? I was there. I was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. I was there when He ascended up into heaven. I was there when He gave Acts 1:8. So was you, if you're in Christ. See, sometimes we forget about this eternity past stuff. I've been taught all my life, and I believe this to be true. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I got eternal life right then. That's why I believe in eternal security. You can't lose eternal life. Well, if eternal life is eternal life, it's got to go both ways, doesn't it? Amen. Eternity's both ways. Now, I know there was an eternity before creation. God didn't choose to tell us about all that. Amen. It was there. And we were all there with Him before the foundation of the world. We were in Christ. Come on. Y'all acting like you don't understand what I'm saying. Come on. But the eternal life is like a river. Doesn't matter where you jump in the river, you're in the river. Amen? Amen. If you jump in when you're 10 years old, you jump in when you're 20 years old, if you jumped in 1600s, if you jumped into the 1800s, if you jumped in last week, you're in. Amen. Woo! I'm in Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm in Jesus Christ. And I'm in eternity past. Now I'm also in eternity future. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm into this rapture stuff. Amen. I love the rapture so much, I have rapture practice. Y'all ever practice? Oh, ouch. Oh. Not going to jump up and down no more. It just hurt my knee. I'll tell you this. Oh. I'm into... I'm in the river. I need to be in the river right now. Let me tell you this. Listen, I'm into the rapture. Amen. It's going to take place very soon. And I believe that it's already happened in my life as far as eternity is concerned. Amen. I want you to realize this. Everything in the future is already mine. Amen. Because I'm in Christ. I got a home in heaven. The streets of gold are mine. It's just as real as if I was already there. Say amen. I believe this stuff, don't you? I'm in Christ. I was placed in Christ just like everybody else was placed in Christ because I believed in Jesus Christ. And He gave me eternal life. Now, if I can get back up here, I'm going to get back to what I want to say. Oh. Okay. I believe I'll stay up here for a while. Now, I believe... with all of my heart. One of the goals of every preacher, every preacher's wife, every layman in this room ought to be that I want to preach till Jesus comes. I want to preach till I die. I want to keep on going. Well, now here's how eternity will help you do that. Are you with me? Turn to Colossians chapter 3. I want you to see this. This is so awesome. If... ye then be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set in your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Glory to His name. The Bible says, not only am I in eternity past, and I figured I can't preach standing still. Not only am I in eternity past, not only am I in eternity future, but I'm in eternity right now. I'm living the eternal life right this moment. And here's what God said. If I'm living that eternal life, if I'm risen with Christ, then I have to set my affections on the things above. Listen to me. Here's how you keep going till Jesus comes. Get your affections off the things of this world and get them on the things of God. Get them off of your family and onto Jesus. Get them onto the things and onto Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you, circumstances will wear you out. If you let them. Amen. I tell people all the time. I go into the bank. They say, how you doing, preacher? I say, I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing marvelous. And let me tell you why. I'm in charge of that. Come on, think about it. I'm in charge of whether I'm having a good day or not. Why? Because I'm arisen with Christ. I've got my mind and my affections on the things above. I've got my mind and my heart on the things of God. I want God to know that I love Him more than anything in this world. I want God to know that I want Him to be the preeminent in my life. I want to keep my eyes on the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. And folks, I'm telling you, that's how you can stay doing it until Jesus comes. Say amen. You get your heart and mind off of the things of this world. Now, folks, we live in a disappointing world. I understand that. Things just don't always go the way you want them to. Surprise. Amen? You've got that figured out, haven't you? It just don't always go the way you want it to go. If I had my way about it, all my kids would be on staff at my church. And all my grandkids would be at my house. Come on, you know what I mean. But that's not God's will. So I got two choices. I can sit around and whine. Amen. That's what a lot of preachers do. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, come on. Give me a break. Let me tell you why it's hard. You got your heart and mind on the wrong thing. Amen. If you have your heart and your mind on Jesus, it's not hard. Now, y'all excuse me. This is one of my pet peeves. I'm sorry. Every chance I get, I got to say this. You know, we talk so much. We talk so much about the qualifications to be a pastor. And man, we are really hung up on this husband of one wife thing, and I am too. Don't misunderstand this. But the very first requirement, the very first qualification in 1 Timothy 3 is if a man desire the office. I'm saying if you don't want to be a preacher, you're not qualified, quit! I don't care how many wives you have, if you don't want to be a preacher, you're not qualified. Amen. I don't care if you do have all those other qualifications. The first one is, I want to be a preacher. And I want to be a preacher. I love it. It's not always easy. I have people leave my church. Amen. Because they don't like something I said. I like what the preacher said. I don't even always like what I say. I go back and listen to some of my tapes. I say, what did I say that for? Come on, you do too. I've listened to some of yours too. We don't always say everything we're supposed to say. Sometimes I think I'm funny. And I'm not, apparently. My wife's always telling me, if you say something funny, I'll laugh. She never laughs. Sometimes I get up and I think I'm funny. My son-in-law, Brother O'Bara, told you that he worked for me. He did up until about 2 months ago. He took a church in Windsor, Colorado. He's the new pastor there. He's having a blast. He's loving it. And I'm so excited for him. He calls me about every couple days. And he wasn't there a day and a half. He called me and he said, well, I've got my first problem. I said, surprise. If you've been pastored more than a week, you've had problems. I don't know why people get mad at me. I'm such a lovable person. I don't know why they would ever get mad at me. I'm not dogmatic or anything. But they do. And they always have a really good reason for leaving. When they leave the church, they got great reasons. I'm leaving the church just because you didn't shake my hand. That's a great reason to leave the church. That's a great reason to stop serving God and let your grandchildren and your children die and go to hell because somebody didn't shake your hand. Isn't that wonderful stuff? Now, I know y'all probably never had any of that. I had one lady leave the church because she said, I talk too loud. Well, I said, yeah, you're right, I do. But I'm deaf and I have to hear myself. Amen. You see, folks, there's going to be some problems. Amen. They're going to come. I'm telling you, one of these days you may go to the doctor and the doctor says you got cancer. That's not going to be fun. I know some brothers that are going through that. But let me tell you this. If you got your affections on the things above and you're living your life accordingly, then the circumstances of this world cannot, will not make you quit. Where do you love? Oh, listen, I love my wife. I do. She's an awesome person. Her and I have such a great time together. People think we're fighting, but we are having a fun time. We pick on each other. She says ugly things about me. But let me tell you this. I love that woman. And you know, oh, good, it's feeling better. Love I was afraid to move there for a minute. Love will make you do crazy things. Say amen. We just threw Valentine's. Isn't that a great holiday? Some woman had to come up with that. A self-respecting man would have never started a holiday like that. Amen? What did you guys get for Valentine's Day? Did you get anything? Now, my wife does get me something for Valentine's Day, but let me tell you this. I bought flowers for my wife because I love her. As a matter of fact, I bought her flowers twice. Amen. Hey, if I did it, I might as well get brownie points for it. Valentine's Day was the day after our kids left, and my wife was that kind of thing, you know. And so was I. So I went out and I bought her a dozen roses and put it in this beautiful vase that would match our bathroom when she got through. See how thoughtful I am? You probably don't even know what would match your bathroom. I do. Come on. Only because my wife made me. But I bought her this beautiful dozen roses and set it at the house. And she come in and she found it. Oh, she was so sweet. I had some more roses at her office. So when she went in her office, there it was again. I got it twice. I love this one. I do it because I love her. We preachers, we say we love the Lord. We love Jesus with all our heart, with all our mind, and with everything that's within us. And He says, get up and go out and knock on the door, and you don't do it. He says, get in your office and pray and study and beg me for a message, and we don't do it. Love will make you do those things. You keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep your heart and mind on Jesus Christ. And you love those things that are above. And you love those things that God loves. And you care about the things that God cares about. You'll never quit. You'll never quit. And therefore, your labor will not be in vain. I tell young people all the time, we've got a young boy that's going to Mineral Wells, Texas and start a church. I'm excited about it. We're going to go start a church. He's a Heartland graduate. He's dumb as a rock, but we're going to treat him. I'm just kidding. He's a young guy. And we're going to go to Mineral Wells, Texas and start a church. I'm excited about starting this new church. Amen? I'm excited about it. I can hardly wait to get out there and start knocking on doors and preaching and seeing God save souls as you start these new churches. And you know what? I love it enough to get off my couch and go do something about it. Amen. Now, I remember one time when I was first at Bible college, I remember preachers coming by at Baptist Bible College. And they used to say stuff like this. You think it's bad now, you just wait till you get out there. Now, I'll tell you, that was not an encouragement to me. That made me want to quit. I thought, if it's worse out there than it is here, there's no way I can make it. I mean, I was working 50 hours a week, going to Bible college all day long, and I was a youth pastor at the church. And he comes and says, you hadn't seen nothing yet. I thought, dear Lord. Come on, y'all never had those feelings? By the way, it's not worse out there. I had a lot worse in Bible college than I do now. I don't have a secular job. I may spend more hours, but I don't have to go mop the floor. I was a janitor at St. John's Hospital. That was a lovely job. I got a lot better now. I have a janitor. Amen. Amen. It's a lot better. I want to tell you this. Don't quit. These preachers that come by and say, guys, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. I want to just tell you today, don't quit. Man, when you feel like quitting, I had a friend of mine who started a church in Plano, Texas. His name was Skip Pilgrim. And our church put a lot of money in this church, and we spent a lot of time with him, and I loved him and still do. And I made him promise me. I said, now, Skip, if you get ready to quit and leave this town, you promise me you won't leave until you call me and let me come pray with you before you leave. If it's God's will for you to leave, you won't mind me praying with you about it. Amen. One night after about 3 years into his starting, he called me. He said, I have my books packed. I've already told my wife we're leaving, and I remembered my promise. So I'm calling you. I said, I'll be right there. I went over and I sat down with him. I said, tell me why you're going to quit. And he never did one time say, because Jesus told me to. I knew he wasn't going to. So I prayed with him. I said, now let me help you put your books back on the shelf. He said, you're right, preacher. There's no quitting place. There's just no quitting place. If you got your affections on the things above, you will never, ever quit. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Thank you so much for the privilege that we have to preach the Word of God. Lord, I thank you that when I got saved, I was placed into Jesus Christ. And now I can set my affections on the things above. I can spend my life on the things above. I can look forward to the day that when we get to heaven, we can see those things that we labored for. We are indeed laying up treasures in heaven. That's what we're trying to do. And Lord, there is no place to quit. We shall reap if we faint not. Help us not to faint. In Jesus' name, amen.